Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here at KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. Hey, we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. You know, a lot of our friends out there that just reaching out there, what they do in the morning is they turn us on, open up another tab, and then they can listen to us while they're working at home, or hey, on your way to work, you can listen to us, of course, on the radio and then into your iPods. We of course, stream at KCNR1460.com, or you can write to Linda, Linda@1460.com. Well, what a day today. We're going to have, you know, it was a big day yesterday, and it's going to be this whole week is going to be fired up. It's a beautiful day. It's 7:06. We're joined today in the studio, of course, by Bad Bob.
Coffee is my friend.
Sometimes we see, what's that little stuff you sprinkle in there, though, Bad Bob?
I have a recommendation.
You know, after he sprinkles two or three times in there, Bad Bob, then we tie a rope to his foot so he can't leave the area. And speaking of something that makes a huge difference in our lives and gets everybody pepped up, Linda Bott.
Good morning. I didn't know I was a something.
You are a, you know what you are, you are a,
you know,
are
I don't
like,
be in a something.
You are like the magic herb.
The magic
herb. You are the magic herb.
I sell your goods at several co-ops that are happening. Anyway, do you want to tell you about the weather today? It's currently 38 degrees. Today's going to be high of 71. Beautiful. Our forecast is sunny with a high near 71. Of course, tonight mostly clear with a low of around 47. It's 7:07 in the morning, and the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. We're going to have a slew of guests that are coming through this morning. In just a moment, after Carl pontificates.
Oh, pontificates.
We are going to introduce you to... We're going to introduce you to somebody who's very special, near and dear to our hearts, that has a place here that, if you don't know about it, by the time we're finished, you're going to know all about a very special place to go take your loved one or go by yourself, and we'll talk about that in just a moment.
We also have rodeo tickets we're giving away. Yeah, rodeo tickets, but not right now. Not right now. It'll be later on. You've got to be listening. I am a tease on this. But we got two rodeo tickets for Thursday we're going to give away. We're going to give away, I think, a total of, I think we've given away four. We've got, four more to give away?
Yeah, we'll give away two each day.
Yeah, we'll give away two each day. So it's going to be great. Because rodeo week, and today in rodeo week, we've got today. Yesterday was the chili, not the chili cook-off. Today.
Be careful, it's the bank hold-up.
You're going to be hearing gunshots. You're going to be hearing yelping and whooping. And we have some clues. We're going to give these clues a few times during the day. But here's the Tuesday clue. The city never sleeps when the loot is near. Center your directions. Often the noise is clear.
This is a big deal.
And the strangers escaped with a bag of dough. Paul Revere, fish and chips, and away we go. Be in charge. Stay the course. Manage your time. You don't need a horse.
Okay, for naming the lone stranger, call 223-1188, 223-1188 with guesses. Or finding loot, turn in at the clubhouse, call 244-1117. That's 244-1117. Again, it's the bank holdup today, and the bank and business judging is going to be happening from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. I mean, this is the week. We know the Asphalt Cowboys are on the loose. You never know what's going to happen.
And just remember, the loot is never hidden on private property. That means you can stop those policemen, frisk them, make sure it's not on them.
Frisk them?
Frisk them, because they are not private property.
Sounds like a cookie.
Hey, a lot of things have happened and since yesterday. You know, we got involved in some of the... and some of the mechanics of the election process. As you know, we have all the we try to have all the candidates on that running for office. And in one case, we had a debate between Jerry Benito, the Shasta County District Attorney, and his opponent, Steve Carlton. It was I like to think, and by from all the feedback we've had, it was a great debate. Plenty of time for the men to express themselves on all types of questions. Well, somebody took a part of that. You know, then we put it up on YouTube. We put up excerpts of it on YouTube, about 10 minutes. We had two groups of it, so it was probably 20 minutes of the debate. Somebody took parts of that debate, you know, the audio portion, and they used it in an ad that, I guess you could say, attacked Jerry Bonito. It was not one of those that you saw was authorized by Carlton. It was by somebody else. But the whole thing came down to and was what are the felony conviction statistics that you see in the Bonito office? And this said is how Bonito had said, let's look at the internet. They're good. And this thing came back out, and they used numbers to show that the conviction rates were low under the Bonito DA's office. And this got into the paper with Bruce Ross, ran a link to it. Then it came back from the Bonito office, you know, hey, pushing back on it. Well, then let me applaud Bruce Ross here, okay? I don't usually applaud a lot of people at the Record Searchlight. But Bruce Ross went back and made a step further. And as he said, hey, you know what, there is statistics are sometimes hard to account for, that what they say may mean two or three different things. And the bottom line is that if you look at the Justice Department statistics pointed that second and perhaps more reliable, they're a more reliable source of data than the California Judicial Center, which oversees the court system. And those are the numbers that Bonito uses. And what it shows is that there have been more felony convictions. There have been more felony prosecutions, many more, under the Bonito tenure here. So I urge you to go online or to pick up the paper today on the Record Searchlight, because it puts a whole different spin on what's going on there. Is it a lower conviction rate? Well, they're not even sure if those were even good numbers from all the counties.
So again, we want to clarify that Carl and I, we do remain neutral. That's our job. We bring you on. We bring on different sides, whether you're Republican, Democrat, all office, people running for office do have a voice on this station, and it is our job to remain neutral. So we've had people that would ask if we would endorse them, and we said, you know, we like you, but we can't endorse you. So again, that's our stance, and that's how we're going to remain until the election, and so on and so forth.
Well, yeah, because once you endorse somebody, everything you see after that is suspect. So, frankly, we're enjoying being on the sidelines watching this. We wanted to bring this up because part of our YouTube
Free Fire Radio
For Free Fire Radio and our town hall meetings we have was used, and it was used without our permission, and not that I don't think you need permission when you pull it off the YouTube, but nobody called us about it, but that's okay.
Anybody can pick up.
But the thing about
the internet
is what I like to see in our paper is that they came out and they used this one thing that put one of the candidates in bad light, then came back and checked their figures and said, well, not so fast. This is not a totally honest way. Not honest is not the right word, but it doesn't really portray the true facts. Anyway, we have a break.
We have a jam-packed morning. Right. We're going to be talking about a spectacular bed and breakfast getaway. Right. We're going to be talking about the new food co-op that's coming into town. We're going to be talking about the Missing in America project. And coming up at the 8 o'clock, we have Russell Hunt. So stay with us. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 7:18. It's going to be a great day today. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Let's go to the phone lines here. Fred.
Yes.
You are on KCNR.
Hey, good morning, Carl. And boy, I thought I had deja vu yesterday. I thought I was back in Vietnam with monsoon weather. Sure is a beautiful change today. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Hey, this is Fred. This is Fred Salante, who is the man for the Missing in America project. How you doing, Fred?
Doing just fine.
Okay, you've got something big happening tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow we have our bi-monthly service at IGO, the Northern California Veterans Cemetery, and we're going to have a ceremony for 15 veterans, 12 that are there that didn't have honors prepared, and then we have some special ones. We have two veterans that, in fact, were buried in a pauper's grave that once we identified that they were veterans, we put them back out, and we'll bury them in IGO in a nice place with their peers. We're going to mention a Canadian soldier that died in Weaverville, and we uncovered that he was there, and he served in World War II with the Canadian Army. And then we are going to honor a lady that was a nurse during World War II and took care of all of our soldiers and married a soldier and is also at IGO.
Well, that's going to be a big event.
So that's at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And one of the best things to that, Carl, is we have a college, a Pacific Union College, that made the Missing in America class project, and they, in fact, are sending up students to be there for this service, and we're going to pick them up from Cottonwood and escort them to the service, and then we're going to also let them participate and help us complete the service for these guys.
Now, how old are these students?
They're college.
Oh, college students. Okay. Great. Now, this is not the only event you have, and anybody can come up and to attend this. This is an event where we honor our veterans, our veterans that were not properly laid to rest.
And Fred, I will, if I may, let me just share with the listeners that going through the ceremonial aspect of what this is like to carry the ashes from someone who served our country and the flag, and walk in single file to put them to rest, puts you inside of a point of an honor that one may never ever feel again. It's something that everyone should really partake in. Show up, just go out there tomorrow. And again, tell us what time again.
It's 11 o'clock because the service will start.
It is, and it is a something you'll never forget.
And the students will be taking that honor tomorrow, too.
That's wonderful.
I'm sure that's something that they'll tell their grandchildren.
I hope that it makes an impression for them. If we lose the youth, we've lost everything.
Okay, now, after that, there's some couple other things that Missing in America Project is also doing.
Oh, boy, we could even just go down this week and not go for... We'd spend the whole time on the radio, but a couple things.
Well, you're going to be on next
the show time. About the story of Missing in America.
Uh-huh.
It will replay Friday night on KIXE TV Channel 9, and that is a No Veterans Left Behind program, and we were the first show to go, and we did it Sunday night at 6:30, but it will replay again at 6 o'clock on Channel 9. And Saturday Friday first, I'll be with you guys for breakfast.
In 12,000 sure of our best friends.
I have my tickets, and I can't pass up the pancakes.
Well, I tell you what, you make sure you stop by and see us. We'll get you on there and say hello.
And then after that, when people finish with the rodeo, from 10 to 4, we're having a Armed Forces Day food drive. As you know, Sunday we do a food bank and give food to veterans and veterans' families that are in need, and so we're collecting food, and that will be... A couple of collection points at the grocery outlet, and we'll also have some ministries there and some other veterans groups that will be at our office, which is at 1180 Industrial, and people are more than welcome to come by after they finish the parade.
Yeah. Now, that's the day. That's the parade day.
That's correct? Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. All right. And are you going to be riding in that parade, Fred?
No, I'll be out there working the food bank.
Okay, because I know a number of the people are going to be driving.
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then, of course, then next week we have another things coming up. But we have you on next week for an entire hour so we can catch up on this stuff.
Well, there's plenty to catch up on. There's some really great things happening this year.
They absolutely are, Fred, and you're right in the middle of it, as always.
And I think everyone should put on their computer, in their bookmarks, the Missing in America website. Fred, would you tell us what that is again, please?
It's a www.miap.us.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Fred, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure, and thank you for your service.
And you're going to be on next week so we can talk. We have more time to talk about this.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's currently 7:23. If you're just tuning in, it's going to be high today at 71. A beautiful day out. We're going to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. This is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Tax.
That's it. You know, they don't just have to be go-go boots. They can be cowboy boots. They can be thigh-high boots. Just be careful, cuz.
Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
Woo! If your feet are just hitting the ground now, we love it. Are you ready? It's so beautiful out after yesterday. My gosh. It's going to be high today at 71. Sunny, beautiful day. It's currently 7:27. We've got a few minutes before we take a break here for Fox News, which is going to be coming up at 7:30. But if you call it 605-4567... that's our hotline. I've got two tickets for the 62nd annual Reading Rodeo for Thursday night, May 13th. Can you believe Thursday's May 13th?
No, I can't.
Anyway, we've got two tickets for the rodeo, and today we've got two tickets for the pancake breakfast.
We're not giving away the pancake breakfast yet. This is just rodeo.
First caller, wait a minute. Okay,
first caller's
going to get the rodeo.
Right.
Second caller's going to get the pancake breakfast. Because we've got a bunch of tickets to give away for the rest of the week. Two tickets for those little yellow tickets that you've seen around. So, let's see. Who's calling for the tickets, Bob?
Okay.
He's writing it down.
Looks like Dan has got the rodeo tickets.
Congratulations, Dan, on the tickets. Come by the station today.
And there'll be an envelope with your name on it. You have to bring in identification, marks of any scars on your bodies, and, of course, bank account statements.
Well, in the house this morning, you may have heard about this really killer place in Shingletown that overlooks the Wild Horse Sanctuary. And Carl and I had just the best time staying there. And we love it when somebody really is very passionate about their place, their property, and what it is to keep the dream alive. And so in the house this morning, we have Angela Weston from the Weston House. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Linda, Carl.
Hey, Angela, how are you doing?
Wonderful. It's great to be here on this beautiful day.
Yeah, that's right. So the Weston House is a beautiful home that, like we said, we've taken our friends up there, and if you don't know about the Weston House, it is a bed and breakfast, but it's also a place that you do retreats.
Right, that's right.
And we have about 1 minute, but when we come back, we're going to hear all about the Weston House, the Wild Horse Sanctuary, how you started, what the property is, and those kinds of things.
And best, how can people come up there and spend a great time?
Yeah.
Hey, but, you know, hey, I've got a question for you. How would you like to spend $50 million of your own money for a political campaign, have a 50-point lead, and lose it all in just a few weeks? Perhaps we'll talk about that when we get back. But can we say...
take a break?
Can we say Meg Whitman?
Can we say take a break?
Okay. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here at KCNR 1460. Clearly, the news talk radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, it's 7:34. Phone lines here, 605-4567. You know, what a beautiful day it is. The old weather rocks dry. It looks like this weekend is going to be great. Maybe 85 there on Saturday on Rodeo Day. You know, we have Rodeo Parade Day. Linda and I are going to be announcers out there. You know, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, Joe and Shelley just have a great place there. They've been there for 37 years. You know, you're going to hear people talk about, well, the oldest coffee place in Reading, and there's another name, and it's wrong. They have been there for 37 years, been in the business, Tobacco and Brew. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. And, of course, Espresso Joe's will give you the coffee you want. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley support our community. They support the veterans. They do so much for our veterans in our community. Tobacco and Brew. So much more than just a tobacco emporium.
Well, we always talk about, Carl and I, our mission statement, and our mission statement is to shop local, stay local, and to promote local businesses. And so where do you go when you you want to do something that's close by that you maybe don't have the time to go to the Bay Area or to Santa Cruz or, you know, to Reno or Tahoe or, you know, places that are far away? There's a beautiful hidden gem called the Weston House that's in Shingletown. It's a beautiful property that is a former home with a beautiful deck that spans out over the Wild Horse Sanctuary. And with us this morning is Angela Weston, owner of the Weston House Bed and Breakfast. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Linda.
And let's talk about your property. Give our listeners a visual as they drive up to Shingletown, past Anselmo's. It's about how many miles past Anselmo?
It's about five.
About 5 miles
east. Right.
Okay, and then you turn right on this dirt road.
Well, Shingletown Ridge Road, which is actually paved.
Well, paved, but then going to your. But what I love about it is the fact that it's partly paved, and then we go into a dirt part of the road, which is that then there's this.
It's a very short.
It is, but I mean, it's like the secret. It's this, wow! All of a sudden, you know, you're looking at this huge. How big is the Wild Horse Sanctuary?
Well, it's 5,000 acres.
So
we see the top part of the camp area and the meadow where the horses, we can see the horses from our place.
Let's talk about your history with the Weston House and how that came about.
Well, let's see. In 91, I moved up from Monterey. And I think, like you were saying, this little hidden gem, when I first drove up and saw the place, I was in complete awe.
Yes.
And I still feel that way every morning when I look out over this beautiful planet. You know, I see this just amazing valley, mountains, sky, stars. It's just heaven. It's heaven on earth.
Well, you have something very interesting with it's like a lap pool that you have, and it's kind of unusual to think about a pool in the backyard of Shingletown. And here's this beautiful, it's like a ranch style bed and breakfast that you have. But tell us about the pool. I find that fascinating.
Well, the pool actually, the whole place was built by Ivor Weston, my husband, and he created the pool for water massage and for lap swimming. And so it is unusual. It's a short season in the pool, but people love it. They get in.
It is unusual. And so we were talking at the break about how you have so many people from around the world that come up to visit Mount Lassen. And you, at first, when you first started to market this as a bed and breakfast, you really marketed it in places not in Redding, but, you know, share that with us.
Well, actually, the funny thing is, when I first started to market it, I would write the script and I would say Northern California, and I was quickly corrected because this is far Northern California. People's minds, they think San Francisco is Northern. So, you know, that was an eye opener to me, and so I
kind of think of San Francisco as alien.
Yeah,
not Northern.
Well,
not Southern. They're alien.
And
that's just me, though.
And that's really, you know, I started to market to the Bay Area, Southern California, like you said, Europe. And it was really kind of a sleeper for Redding. You know, nobody really knew. I mean, they had heard about Shingletown. They really didn't know where it was. I mean, I thought that was really interesting. But now that we have some new businesses coming into the area, the wineries that are popping up, of course, in Selmo, I now have a great place to send people for dinner, for a wonderful experience, aside from the natural features, the Lassen Park, Burney Falls, and, of course, the Wild Horse Sanctuary, which is open year-round.
Now, you grow many of your own vegetables, and you prepare a wonderful breakfast in the morning for people. And could you share with us about your menus?
Well, I serve whole, fresh. I try to serve organic food. And just really, you know, very accommodating, whatever people want. I've also noticed over the years the special dietary needs, like the gluten-free or the vegan, or, you know, and so I do all of that as well.
Okay, and so let's talk about your website, because for those of you who don't know about the Weston House or would like to find out more information, go to
www.westonhouse.com. And that's W-E-S-T-O-N, right. Not I-N.
Right. And you can see a picture of the deck with the pool overlooking what I'm talking about, the Wild Horse Sanctuary. We've taken Harley rides up there and take our friends and just show them this place. And this is where you can hear the wind in the trees. It's quiet like that. Hear the wind in the trees. You can hear the birds. You see it, just you're really hanging out there in nature, and it's an awesome experience. And it's only 16 miles. Oh, how many?
No, it's about 30 miles.
About 30 miles. Okay.
Right.
Well, 16 is the stop at Insalmo.
Right. Okay.
and then the Weston House.
Hey, we've got to take a break here. We come back, we're going to finish talking with Angela Weston from the Weston House. And what a great place it is. In fact, we're going to be up there in a couple weeks.
That's right.
This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Shasta County.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, or send Linda email Linda at KCNR1460.com. Our guest right now is Angela Weston, but 8 o'clock will be Russell Hunt, who's running for the county clerk position, and Russell's out there getting ready. Hey, you know what? There's going to be a bank robbery today. That's right, a bank robbery. The clue is...
What is the clue?
The city never sleeps. When the loot is near, center your directions. Often the noise is clear. Okay, I wonder what that means. I'm thinking that siren thing in the middle of the day.
All right.
Wait a minute. There's one more.
Don't give your input.
Well, I can give my input because I have no idea.
Okay.
Okay. The second clue. The strangers escaped with a bag of dough. Paul Revere, fish and chips, and away we go. Be in charge. Stay the course. Manage your time. You don't need a horse. All right. Turn in the loot at the Cowboy Clubhouse or call 224-1117. If you can identify the lone strangers, you call 223-1188. And just remember, the loot is never hidden on private property. It gives you no right to go in and kick in that door and be looking for the loot. And I bet toward the end of the show today, you never can tell what we're going to be hearing.
I don't know. What are we going to be hearing? Our guest today is Angela Weston from the Weston House, a beautiful bed and breakfast from Shingletown, California. And if you don't know about it, you need to know about it. It's, Angela said, 30 miles out of town, which is just boom. You know, you're there in less than 30 minutes.
It's before you get to Shingletown.
Correct.
It's four rooms, and they all have separate entrances. Mm-hmm. They have beautiful verandas. It is absolutely quiet. I mean, you're sitting out there, you can hear a bird flying over. You can hear the wind whistling through the wings. Plus, you are up in Shingletown, so the heat that's down here in the valley is dissipated by the time it gets up there.
Yeah, about 10 or 15 degrees cooler, which is nice.
So when we met Angela and we were at the Weston House some time ago, we asked for Angela to come on because we love to be able to share with our listeners businesses, put a face to the business, and this is why we have Angela Weston on today. And you can go to www.westonhouse.com and look at the pictures, see the rooms. Now, Angela, there's other things besides just maybe somebody wanting to come for a personal retreat. You have creative things that you do with people, too, such as?
Well, I love to cater to families, family reunions. That's a lot of fun. Of course, romantic getaways, people coming up to just clear their head. And this fall, we're going to start some programs. I have some different people coming in who are going to be offering their services. So I'll book the rooms, and then they'll provide the service, one of them being a cleansing or a nutritional program that Mary Ann Jones, who used to live in Manton and had a house called Cedarbrook. And so she's now bringing Cedarbrook to you. So we're very happy to have her come up.
So if girls wanted, that'd be really fun for, let's say, or couples that are kind of on, the health kick, let's clean out. You know, we've been hard on our bodies kind of thing. Go for a weekend retreat and be able to go to a place where you can get quiet. The phone's not ringing. You can get away. You can journal. You can do the cleanse. That's a phenomenal place because I don't think anybody around here is doing anything like that. We all know we have to go down to Southern California or someplace like that. So that's going to start when?
September. Once the season, the tourist season in the summer tapers off, then I'll start to bring in other programs, 5-day, 2-day programs.
Have you seen a surge of more people or new people coming up to Shingletown?
Oh, absolutely. The demographics are really changing. I'm seeing that. I used to have people coming up from, like I said, the Bay Area, and they wanted to buzz around and do, you know, a thousand different things in a weekend, and now they come up and they want to do nothing. People are tired, and they need to just rest, and so it's the perfect place to do that. In fact, when they check in, you know, they look one way. By the time they come down the next day for breakfast, I don't even recognize them.
Well, you know, one of the things I remember you saying when we were up there was that they come up there to rest, mm-hmm. and then they sit down, and they said, oh, there's Lassen Park. It's just right down the road. They never make it out of the chair. And I thought that, you know, I could understand that so well. People coming up there, they're all twisted up in their little knots, and then they sit down out there because, I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. It's quiet. You can sit out there and have a mimosa or whatever your poison is.
You don't have to do anything. That.
You don't have to do anything. Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Well, that was kind of the joke when I first moved up here because I had not lived in rural America. And so I would complain, this is a do-nothing bed and breakfast. And now I have people coming up and they say, well, we came up to hike, but, you know, we really want to do nothing. I just laugh because, you know, that's what I said years ago. And now it's marketable.
Oh, that's absolutely. Thank you so much for being our guest. And again, we're talking with Angela Weston of the Weston House that overlooks the beautiful Wild Horse Sanctuary, another one of our wonderful treasures here in the North State.
Now, how do we get a hold of you again?
Well, you can visit the website, which, of course, you can email me, westonhouse.com, and the email address is info@westonhouse.com, or you can call me at 474-3738.
All right. Thank you, Angela, and
we'll be seeing you
have
soon.
A terrifically successful season.
Thank you so much, Carl and Linda. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Hey,
this is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Ladies and
yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bot, 605-4567. It is 7:55. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Off of Athens Avenue in the Cypress Square Center there. DC Tim and the Mysterious Haircutter. They're barbers. They're not hairstylists. They're barbers. They give great haircuts, great prices. You go there, and you're not going to have nails. You're not going to have your nails or toes done or the hair gel or the hair dryers. You know, butch wax, probably, you can get that. But, you know, it's a great place to go to. It's a great place. It's got, you know, it's got the gun magazines. It's got the National Geographic car magazines. You're not going to see Oprah there. It's man's last stronghold. That's what they put on their door, and it is. But it's a great place to go down and get your hair cut. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, open Monday through Friday.
Hey, just want to let you guys know that we got an email that came in. Okay, it reads like this. Just wanted you to know the Shasta County Peace Officers Memorial Service will be at the Shasta Superior Court on Thursday from 11:30 to 13:30.
It's 11:30 to 1:30 for civilians.
This is a wonderful event that recognizes local peace officers who paid the ultimate price. This is also National Police Week, and the 15th is actually Peace Officers Memorial Day. Hope to see you at the courthouse.
Okay, that's Thursday from 11:30 to 1:30 at the Shasta County Courthouse, and it's the Peace Officers Memorial Celebration. Okay, before we take our break, we're going to talk about a couple of things here. Russell Hunt is going to be our guest in the next hour. He's running for county clerk against Kathy Darling. We've already had a number of questions come rolling through here. I'm sure there'll be a few more. Let's talk about what happens when you spend $69 million. Okay, Bad Bob, if you spent $69 million, what would you expect to get from that? For that?
A really big boat.
Okay, a really big boat. Linda, baby, for $69 million, what would you expect? You go out and you spend $69 million. What do you expect out of that?
A return.
A return, okay. Meg Whitman spent $59 million of her own money, $10 million of her friend's money, and she has a two-point lead in the polls.
Who's second?
Poisoner. Now, Steve Poisoner, who has spent like $19 million running for the Republican nomination, has advanced so quickly in the last couple of weeks. It is almost, you can say the word astounding. Meg Whitman came out fast, hit him hard with all of these ads, and then, you know, Poisoner hadn't put any out, and then now Poisoner is reeling them back in, where before she had a 50-point lead. And this was just a few weeks ago. It's down to 2 to 3 points. Now, of course, they are both vying for the chance to go against former governor Jerry Brown, who is sitting in Oakland tending his garden. He's not doing anything because he doesn't have to do anything. He's just letting them whack on each other and spend all their money before he comes out. But here's the thing. $69 million. And what do you get from it?
You know, my gut instinct tells me that America, generally, I'll say, is in a place right now with everything that's happening with immigration and many of what people who thought that things were going to be different than they are now are really longing for somebody to draw a real hard line. And just from what I hear, Poisoner is very clear cut with his hard line. He's got a hard line in the sand. There's no gray. And well, I think people are hungry for that.
I think they are. I think they're hungry for, a right or wrong. Poisoner was on our show and sought out the ability to be on our show. We have tried to have Meg Whitman on the show and have asked repeatedly. I'm not, of course, saying it has anything to do with her dropping the polls. okay, just kidding here. But the thing is that I think you're right, is, all of a sudden all these negative ads, and they stopped, and then Poisoner's come back. But it's a horse race now, so it should be interesting, especially in the next few weeks, to see what happens. But $69 million. I just think of that. I just think of all the money that's being spent on these. And then I wonder about what happens to people like Naratelli that doesn't have the money, that maybe has good ideas. What about that man or woman out there that is the person to run for office and yet doesn't have hundreds of thousands of dollars even to get into state assembly races? There's something, maybe there's something wrong about that. Is it the best and the brightest, or is it just the richest and the luckiest, huh? Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding. Well, welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Lindebaugh on KCNR 1460. It is 8:06. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. We have a new website. Check out the new website today.
It just was launched, actually.
Just launched last night.
We had a caller that is trying to find the stream, and it's there. It's just in a peculiar place.
Yes, when you go to the page, if you click on the blinking on air light, that will take you right, and the stream will start playing automatically. And in a few days, we're going to set it up so you can actually comment right on our page, and we're working on getting that implemented.
So we're going to be up there with LinkedIn. Tweet, Twitter, you name it. By the way, it's going to be high today of 71, currently 39 degrees. Beautiful, beautiful day. And the forecast looks spectacular again all week for Rodeo Week. And by the way, weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. And we're going to take your calls here, 605-4567. We do have two tickets for the pancake breakfast. if you want to call this morning. The first caller gets two tickets for the pancake breakfast. And we're going to be out there broadcasting live from 7 to 9, out there with 12,000 of our best friends. So we hope you come out and see us.
You know, we're trying. They're going for 11,000 this year. I think they had 10,400 last year. They want 11,000 this year. But we have tickets. Pick them up here at the station at 605-4567. And we'll have them here for you. We've already given away the rodeo tickets. But the pancake breakfast, I think you save like $4 per ticket. So give us a call on that. Hey, our guest today is Russell Hunt, who is running for the county clerk position, running against the incumbent, Kathy Darling. And Russell is, and I think you could say this, Russell, you're pretty well known around town.
More or less, yes.
More
good
or
morning.
Less.
Well, good morning. Morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Russell. So, what we start out is, tell us about Russell Hunt.
Well, I'm a school teacher most of the time, and I do some economic consulting work, and I've been living and running for a long time, and unfortunately had to work in the Bay Area a lot of that time. The same time I live here, I'm kind of two places at one time. My concerns are very much about local government and where it's going. I'm sort of like Gary Catt Jr. in a way, that I look and investigate things that I feel that are improper. And so this kind of got me into the county clerk, running for the county clerk, because I saw things there that I was kind of upset with, and I think that they need to be addressed.
Okay. When you say that you saw things at the county clerk, you've put signs up throughout the county that says stop the corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What corruption?
Well, there's I found four people who are in office today who don't live in the districts where they are representing, and I brought that matter to Kathy Darling. I got the one with that the most evidence, and I brought that to her, and this person first said he was living with his ex-wife, and I talked to her, and he wasn't living there, and then I found that he now lives in a condemned house. The city of Reading says you can't live there. He's claiming that as his residency for purpose of being on these two elected boards, and I was pretty much brushed off by that when I brought it to her. And I felt that this was a felony matter and should have been brought to the district attorney. I also found situations of campaign reporting that was not done properly. I made reports to the Secretary of State with some response on that, getting corrections and people.
When you say campaign reporting, what do you mean, Russell?
Every kind of campaign for a measure or a school bond or a candidacy over $1,000 has to report their contributions and their spending, and I found that there were illegal contributions and pay-to-play scandals involving school bonds, people receiving money in contracts for giving money to campaigns, and this matter still hasn't been addressed by Kathy Darling, and it needs to be, at the very least, it needs to be reported to the district attorney's office and investigated, and that's not occurred.
Have you given the names to the district attorney?
Yes, I have.
And what's happened?
I got a polite letter of no thank you.
Oh, okay. So the district attorney then has decided not to look at it. Now.
I don't know that he's ever, you know, the key contact here would be to contact the city of Reading on this one individual and ask why a person is living in a condemned house and claiming that as his domicile. I'm not aware that he's ever talked to the city of Reading.
Okay. Hey, look, we're going to have to take a quick break here. Our guest is Russell Hunt, who's running for the Shasta County clerk position. Carl and Linda Bach, Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bach here on Free Fire Radio. You're listening to KCNR, 1460. How about a fabulous day? It's going to be high today of 71 degrees. Currently 39 out, but I don't know about you. I'm wearing short sleeves. It feels so good. After what we went through yesterday, it was so chilly, and it's a fabulous day here in the North State. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. By the way, Friday, after the pancake breakfast, we are going to be at Tobacco and Brew for our noon forum. That is going to stream live on Free Fire Radio, and Friday should be very interesting. It's very topical. It's going to be a hot debate. Actually, question and answer period, I would say, because we're going to be there and we're going to be discussing medicinal marijuana. We have a panel of people who grow, who sell, who have prescriptions, or what do you want to call it?
Recommendations.
And
our favorite, the ACLU is going to be there to explain to us why medicinal marijuana is not only useful, but probably should be mandatory.
So, again, like Carl and I, our mission is to bring all of the information to you, and you decide for yourself, which leads us into our guest of the hour, which is Russell Hunt. Good morning, Russell.
Good day.
Hey, Russell, you know, just as long as we're in on this, what do you think about the medicinal marijuana situation here in town?
I can see both sides of the story, but I think we'll wait till November and see if it's approved as legal or not. And then there'll be a whole new slew of laws to regulate and tax, and the circus will begin again.
So do you think it's going to be approved?
It's hard to tell. I don't hang out with people who smoke marijuana, so I don't know what their opinion is about it.
So. Okay. So what do you think about so many communes here in town?
It's really interesting. I was in L.A. about 2 months ago, and we are actually in second place when it comes to the communes, or the cooperatives, the collectives, they call it. And it's interesting that they are going to regulate the number of it, so maybe that will be something we'll do here.
Well, you know, it is funny that you know, Oakland's got three, and we have, I don't know, 30. I don't think anybody really knows how many we have. Can the county clerk do anything about that?
Not really, but okay. It might be a position where the taxing or the licensing goes through the county clerk in the future.
Okay, I'm looking at a piece of a paper here that you handed to me, and there's two things that I'd like to read aloud to our listeners. What I will do if elected: launch a countywide campaign to register the 40% of the adult population which are now being excluded from our public.
Mm-hmm.
Could you expound on that?
Well, it's kind of been a passive procedure in recent years. 40% is a huge amount of people that probably have moved and didn't upgrade their registration. And I think it's necessary that we go out in the public and make an effort, even sometimes door-to-door effort, to register people. The county clerk's position is neutral, so whatever party the affiliation they have, that doesn't have any effect upon us. But that is so many people that I don't think we're getting a true account of the situation and the way people feel, simply because they're not registered to vote, and then they don't think it's important. So I think it used to be the county clerk's position to go out there and, excuse the language, but hustle up the vote away. And that's not being done anymore. So, I mean, for $90,000 a year, I think you need to work really hard for the position.
Well, the county clerk provides classes to those organizations that do go out and register voters. And I believe that it's not in their charter to go out and register voters themselves. Is that true?
It's one of those positions that's very loosely defined. There's in the government code, it says you're responsible for this and this. And how active you are is kind of up to whoever's in office.
Okay. Now, you had stated, I believe you stated, that there was a problem with illegal aliens being registered in the county.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's not a huge problem compared to, say, L.A., but it's becoming a problem because they see an area that you can vote and nobody looks at your registration card. And so one of the things I would do as the county clerk is I would require some form of ID. If you can't put a Social Security number or driver's license or California ID on your registration, then you need to come into the office and talk and see what the situation is, because those are the basic components of anybody who is legally here is having that kind of ID.
So are you sure they're illegals?
It's not necessarily they're illegal, but it seems suspicious that you don't have the basic documents that everybody else does.
Okay. So if somebody registers to vote, all right, they give their address. They don't have to show any ID at all when they're registering to vote?
What it says on the application is if you have a Social Security card or California ID, then you are to provide it. And
To
register to vote.
But when you vote, you can just walk in there.
You could actually be required to show ID, and in the past they used to do that. Now it's kind of been tossed aside because most people, or I'd say most, but pretty close to a majority of the people are voting by mail by now.
Right. So, but to register, you still have to show ID.
You're supposed to give ID on the card, yes.
Okay, so anybody that's on the registered rolls has somebody seen an ID that says they're a member
no,
of the
state? No, that's what I'm going to require. Because right now, you can put no ID on there and be a registered voter. And so I'm going to call people in and say, I need to see some ID.
Okay. There've been court challenges over this one, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so you're prepared for that.
Yeah, I think that's just, I mean, it's just basic common sense there that, you know, everybody, even little babies, have Social Security cards. And so...
Well, Russell, truthfully, I'm not really arguing with you about this one. You know, I'm just saying is that I'm just trying to pin down this is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that I think if you're going to vote in this country or in this state or this county and this city, that you ought to be able to prove who you are.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's got to be some kind of ID mm-hmm. that says that, hey, my name is Carl Bott, and here is an ID that proves who I am, that I live in this county, mm-hmm. and I live in this state, and I live in this country. I mean, I've got no problem with that. I'm just wanting to make sure is that that's what you're saying, and
yep.
that the and that you're ready to and some people say, I have no ID to do something about that.
Well, in California, you're required to have some kind of ID in the first place, so there's something going on there that doesn't make sense. So,
okay.
How do you feel about... speaking of ID and perhaps, you know, not being here legally or you know, hiding off the grid, as they say, this is not necessarily a local, local, but it will affect us, and it is affecting us in a trickle-down way. What do you think about what's going on with Arizona and the laws that have been passed there?
More power to Arizona. They're simply enforcing federal laws. I've looked up the laws. And if anything, it's something that should already be in force. And in California, any officer of the law can ask you for ID when you're walking down the street. I mean, maybe you're tripping over something, and that's good enough for you to look for your ID. So I don't have any problem with Arizona. I think they're doing the right thing.
Well, great. We're taking your calls here, 605-4567. Our guest is Russell Hunt, or you can email me, Linda, at... KCNR1460.com. We do have a caller. We're going to catch on the other side of this break. You're listening to KCNR 1460 Clearly News Talk Radio.
Clearly News Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott right here on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Okay, there's going to be a bank robbery today. Not every time do you know about it, but there is. And there's going to be a train or a bank robbery. And here are today's clues. The city never sleeps when the loot is near. Center your direction. Often the noise is clear. The strangers escaped with a bag of dough, Paul Revere fish and chips, and away we go. Be in charge, stay the course, manage your time, you don't need a horse. If you can identify the lone stranger, you call 223-1188. And you can, if you recover the loot, you can turn it in at the Cowboy Clubhouse or call 224-1117. Now, this is important, the loot is never hidden on private property, so no fair coming in here and frisking Linda. Let's go to the phones.
Good morning, Kay. You're on KCNR.
Hi, Linda and Carl.
Well, good morning.
And it's interesting that you're having Mr. Hunt on.
Absolutely. Well, everybody that is running for office is going to be on.
Well, that's good, because yes. I don't think we've ever had any debates with people running for the county clerk's office before.
Well, I think, if I understand right, there's going to be a debate Thursday. Is that correct?
That'll be in the Happy Valley Community Center at 7 o'clock.
And you will be there along with Kathy Darling.
I'm not sure if she's there, but I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, Kay, what's your question?
Well, a big part of the problem with the elections is the state laws. For example, prior to having the mail-in registration, voter registration, you had anybody who... registered voters had to be deputized, and you had affidavits, and you were responsible for those affidavits when the county clerk assigned them to you. You had to account for every single one of them, and if you didn't, I don't know what happened, because I didn't know anybody who you know, everybody had them accounted for, but it was really serious. And now with these postcards and the DMV getting into the thing, the DMV doesn't do their job right, and they don't need to get into anybody else's business. And they don't know, for example, if you change your address with the DMV, they will send it to the county clerk's office, and they goof the whole thing up, and if you re-register in the county clerk's office, you're still put on this blue sheet, and it's awful.
So I think a lot of the problem is
not going to get solved here unless people go to Sacramento and get it changed there.
Okay.
Russell? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Kay.
There's a substantial amount of laws in the book on how to run elections, how to have registered voters. And I believe that complying with the law is an absolute necessity. Voting is a very serious matter. If you commit perjury as a voter, if you sign the document falsely, that is a felony crime. Anybody who runs for office and has falsified documents or something is also a felony. I have the same concerns as you with the state of California loosening up requirements. But I will try to adhere to what's on the books. As you said, it is a state matter in the election code and the government code. So do the best I can on that one.
Okay. Another question that came in from one of our listeners. How does your experience as a substitute teacher or teacher assist you in balancing a department budget, managing a large staff, and representing the clerk's office in an unbiased and professional manner?
Okay, and that sounds like a loaded question. I haven't been a substitute teacher since I was 27 and I'm 50, so that gave that one away right off the bat. But I do have a master's degree in public administration, which is government management. I've obviously managed a lot of children and dealt with a lot of different people as a teacher for, 8 years now, and I've also worked as a restaurant manager and in other professions, such as I actually had a janitorial contract working with the government, and then I've also had experience in the oil fields. And so it's really how you deal with people, not so much that there is, you know, I don't have 20 years working in the elections department. I'm not going to say that's true. But that's a bureaucracy, and you need a watchdog, and that's my position. And I think all these elected positions are a watchdog. And that's, I'm not going to be complacent. I'm going to be out there looking for discrepancies and looking for things that need improvement. And so I'm going to be active, and I'm not going to sit around and watch videos and read romance books.
Oh, well, I'm not sure if you're accusing your opponent of doing that. But we come back. We've got to take a quick break. We have questions coming in, including from the county clerk's office. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Bob, what happened to Walk of Life?
We play that coming out of the bottom. Oh, and you're right. I
say you made a mistake.
I made a mistake.
Okay.
Are you
going to
get out the whips?
No, that's enough.
Please?
No, that's enough. I'm going to tell Brenda, though. Our guest is Russell Hunt, who's running for the Shasta County clerk position. You know, Russell, you have been in a war with the record searchlight.
That's true.
Can you, it's not just opinions, it's editorials, it's even news stories. They don't seem to want you to be elected to anything.
Well, I'm apparently a threat to them or something that they spend that much time upon me. It's very interesting. I see in some of these articles that have little bits and pieces of the truth, and then the I see suppositions in between it. And nobody's ever asked me anything about it. So you know that if it's a news article about a record searchlight, I think you need to take that with something. You need to be very careful when you read their articles, because they do have very much an agenda, and that's a shame, because we really need a neutral news source there.
Okay, so that, you know, when they've said allegations anywhere from real estate deals to keeping animals, I think that was one of them I saw one time. So you're just what you're saying here is that it's they'll take something that may have been true at one time or just a bit of truth, and they're just running with it.
Well, what I would say is like they take what someone has said 20 years ago, and that person is sitting in prison, and yet that person is their word is great and wonderful, and yet I'm never asked what I have to say about it. So, for instance, I think somebody accused me of putting manure under somebody's house, which was nonsense. I actually kicked over a bucket of fertilizer on my own house, and I was trying to get rid of a person who was selling methamphetamine from my house. He was running a room there, and that's the Ken Murray story that he kind of embellished a little bit. That person's sitting in prison right now, so that tells you a lot about that person's credibility.
Okay. County Clerk's office is nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
You are pretty, and this is a an email coming into this, and I'll just read it exactly. You're known in the county as being a very staunch conservative politically. The clerk's office is a nonpartisan office. How will you stay objective? How will you assure that all voters that your outspoken political views will not prevent you from administrating elections in a secure manner, ensuring that all votes will be counted as they were cast?
This is a little bit of a loaded question there, too. Outspoken, actually, I think I speak for the majority, but it is a neutral position, definitely. I do not run the elections as a county clerk. That would be Anna Hernandez's job. I talked to her many times. I talked to the staff many times. None of these people are interested in taking a side, and that would be my position as well. But I would make sure that we are obeying the law as much as possible. And that may seem partisan or not, but if you don't go by the rules, then you don't have a fair contest for anybody. So to say that my opinions would get in the way, I don't think so, because it's an infallible system for the most part. It's not like I'm personally counting the votes and saying I don't like this person or that person. It's pretty much done by computer, and there's checks and double checks on everything. So there's no way you can influence the vote by being a conservative. There just isn't any way to do it.
Hmm. That's an interesting point. I'm not sure that that's true. As long as it's done legally, you can't. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that one. Okay, Russell, you've talked about taking things to the DA and they ignored it on before. If you become the county clerk, you see something that you believe is not up and up, like residency, they're not filling out things right, whatever. What are your actions then as county clerk?
In terms of the financial documents, that goes to the Secretary of State and the Fair Practices Committee, and I've talked to those folks, been down there, talked to them personally on how to do things and what's appropriate. And when it comes to committing perjury, that needs to go to the district attorney's office. And in a way, the county clerk is a law enforcement officer, but on the other hand, they're not, because they don't have the ability to prosecute. But it also needs to be made public and not covered up. If somebody is doing illegal registration or running for office in a district they're not from, then that matter needs to be public as well as brought to the DA. And the example, I won't mention the person's name, but it was so obvious that it was a shame that nothing was done. And it's a scar, basically, on the county clerk's office today.
Okay. Now, the question that's come in.
This is the question that's come in. I feel it's important to point out to my opponent that as county clerk, you don't get to make up the rules as you go. There are specific federal and state laws in place regarding ID that is required when you register to vote. Implementing illegal local policies is only going to get the county sued, wasting precious tax dollars, period. I'm curious where the funding for voter registration drive will come from. That is from Kathy Darling. P.S. I'd also like to know what he would do as clerk if he referred an issue to the DA and did not get the answer he wanted. What would he do then specifically?
Well, I kind of partially answered that already, because if the evidence is in hand, if you have proof this person is living where they don't, where they aren't supposed to be, where they're living in the wrong district, and you have evidence like from the city of Reading, I don't see how you can deny that and just say, This shouldn't be a public matter. Let the public know. In terms of the rules, yes, she is correct. There are certain rules and everything, but you have to remember is how you administer those rules. And asking for ID is not inappropriate because we really don't know who's voting. This is no longer a small town. I remember when I first started voting, they always knew who I was, and I walked up, so they didn't know. They didn't bother to ask for ID. But that used to be standard procedure. And at least when you're registering and you can't produce ID, then you need to show us some evidence that you live here. And I think if you ask them to do that, that they'll probably drop the whole matter. They probably won't even bother to register because they know you're on to them. I don't think we can look the other way on this stuff. This is too critical in our
society. When we say a form of identification, is a bills from REU, is that considered identification?
I don't believe so in California, but in other states that is required. You have to have actually, in some states you have to have three or four sources of ID.
So what you know? So is there? Does it take a picture ID to register as a voter?
It doesn't take anything, but I would say that it's a suspicious registration if you can't produce Social Security card or California ID.
We're going to take a break here. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Russell Hunt, running for the Shasta County Clerk. This is clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Hey, you know what? We have two tickets to the pancake breakfast. That's right.
Free.
They are still here.
Right here.
They're free. Yes, they may only be $3 a piece, $4 if you buy them that day.
Hey.
But just think of it like this. You're going to go down there anyways. Now you can have free tickets. 605-4567 for the first person that calls. You get those tickets. You get to come down here to the Magnificent Studios. Get a guided tour through here.
We have an email.
All right.
Our guest today is Russell Hunt. If you're just checking in, 845, going to be 71 degrees today. Beautiful, clear weather. Okay, Russell, the question is, could you tell the electorate out here why we can't all vote by mail like Oregon does? Question mark. It seems to work for them, so why not? Doesn't every state do it?
There are some technical problems with that, but I am in favor of all mail-in voting, and there is a new procedure now where you can actually put a fingerprint on the envelope to prove identity besides your signature, which is checked already by the clerk's office. I would start off with mail-in elections for the small districts in the odd years and work out the bugs at that point. In the last election last year, the school board elections, primarily in, of course, Shasta Lake City, there were 75% of the people sent their ballots in by mail. So we can see the trend. We can see what people want, and it is the way we should be going. It will take time to implement and time for people to change. Actually had over 100 employees working the election last November and about 18% turnout, and most of that was on mail voters. So the mail voters, I mean mail-in voters. And so I think that's where we have to go with that. I don't see the old style working anymore.
Okay. Right. Hey, by the way, we've given out those pancake tickets. Barbara, you just won a couple of tickets to the pancake breakfast, and you can come by that day and visit Linda and I. We're down there on a remote Friday.
Yeah, we're going to be out there, like we said, but 10, maybe this year will be 12,000. Of our great and best friends here in the North State. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Kind of like going to Sturgis with 400,000 of our closest friends.
Of course, today's the Cowboy Clue with the big holdup that's going to be happening here. So we are taking your call, 605-4567. We just have a few minutes left here with Russell Hunt. If you've got a question that you are asking, would need to ask the candidate, now's the time, or email me, Linda, at kcnr1460.com.
What would you do to change the county clerk's office, Russell?
One of the things I think we need is to also get back into the classrooms, the colleges, and the high schools, and as the clerk, go in there and discuss voter registration and to explain the local processes, which are really the things that people run into the most. And can you know try to get that in people interested. I mean, the passivity is not acceptable in times of major decisions that we're doing right now. So I'm going to be out in the community, you know, continuously promoting registration involvement. I want to see a organized effort towards having forums instead of, I mean, like this time there's overlapping forums, and so one group had to counsel and stuff like that. So not to be involved with the forums, but to coordinate it and to encourage that. Any time we can get the candidates in front of the people answering questions, the more interest we generate, the more honesty I think we get from people. I don't like people hiding behind TV commercials.
What are the other duties of the county clerk?
They do the fictitious business statements, which is basically if you have a name that is not your own on your business, you come in and pay a fee, and you have to publish it in the paper, and you fill out a form. And that way, if somebody needs to contact you as the owner of the business, they can go through the county clerk's office and get that information. They're also the depository for passports. And what else are we doing down there? It escapes me right now. It's primarily elections, though. Marriage licenses, and that's one issue I want to talk about. That Kathy Darling did issue a marriage license to a couple that's going to be transsexual, and I think that violated the California Constitution in that the marriage is between a man and a woman, and this person came in and said he's going to have this operation, and she gave him a license even though he's going to change his gender. So once you announce something like that, I don't think you should be issuing the marriage licenses.
Has he changed?
I'm not aware. They're from Nevada, and I'm not sure where they've gone from there.
So she issued a license to a man and a woman.
Right.
What if he changes his mind? I mean,
then I guess they're okay. But it's like trying to get a gun permit and saying I need a gun permit because I'm going to go rob the bank. Of course, the sheriff would say no, you're not going to get the gun permit. If they would have kept their if they would have said nothing about it, then that's fine. But when you're announcing that you intend to violate the California Constitution, I don't think a public official can participate in that.
Well, I can say that I can say a lot of things, but it doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
No.
I mean, can you withhold county services because you say something? What if somebody says I'm going to have another child and I'm already on welfare? Do you withhold county services?
That would be depending on the regulations of the welfare program. In this case, though, there is a procedure for name change and gender change that you go through the courts to do it. And this person was bouncing between Nevada and California to kind of work around the rules.
Uh-huh.
And that would be, I would say, go back to Nevada and figure it out. To issue a license, I mean, it puts the county in a position, too, of lawsuits because down the road somewhere, you're going to have other people doing this. So I think that procedure, issuing of licenses in that matter is not.
Well, there was for a time, it was okay to issue a license between people of the same sex, right?
Right. And, well, there's still the civil unions. You can still have a legal union and not be married.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. That's up to them.
Okay. Tim, we got a question from Tim. Line 2, KCNR. Tim, you're on.
Good morning, Tim. You're on KCNR.
Is it Tim or Jim?
Good morning. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. But anyway, I just wanted to point out that there's no problem with bringing your political opinion a little bit into a department, liberal versus conservative. Apparently we have a liberal in there right now, especially based on last little conversation. And the other thing is I don't know why these elected officials believe that they should have a lifetime job when they're elected into a position. Basically, it's probably a great method of auditing the department by removing them every election period and putting somebody else in there, at least if they're qualified, to make sure things are being run properly.
You know.
And if we don't like what's going on, then move on with another elected official the next time. In fact, that's what I believe is the right thing to do.
I think you're absolutely right. I think every position that can be contested in an election should be, because we need to have both sides identify just what they stand for. And people that run unopposed, I just don't like that at all.
Well, anyway, that's all I wanted to mention. So I believe that Mr. Hunt has a pretty good chance of replacing Kathy's anyway.
Well, and we'll see about that. But you're right. But the thing is that every position that we vote for, and I agree with you, that's our check and balance is elections. And if we don't get involved with it, if other people don't get involved with it, we're cheating ourselves. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our guest today is Russell Hunt, who's running for the Shasta County Clerk's position. Let's go to the phones. Terry.
Hey, how you doing, Carl?
Fine.
Good. The reason I'm calling is last night at the Reading Tea Party, it was a great meeting. We had, as you know, Regnell and Faulkner in for their debate, and it was good. All went well. But the real reason I'm calling is that next Monday night, we are having Chuck DeVore coming in. It'll be at Bonneview Baptist Church. It's 6 o'clock, and Chuck's coming in. And as many people probably know, he's been endorsed by Mike Huckabee. He's been on Mike Huckabee. He's been on Glenn Beck, and probably the most conservative candidate. But the most important thing is that while Campbell and Fiorini and Boxer all voted to support the Wall Street bailout and support AB 32, which is cap and trade, support Sotomayor for the Supreme Court, and support big California tax increases, the other three people all voted for that. And Chuck DeVore was the lone person who voted against it, which kind of puts him in a corner by himself, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
so,
we're trying to get Chuck on the show here next week, and we're trying to see how we can do that the best way.
Well, he's going to be here Monday, and along with him speaking will be Jim Nielsen.
Uh-huh.
And people will have an opportunity to ask him questions and answers, okay, and all that good stuff. And he'll not only speak to the general meeting, but after a while he'll go into a classroom and talk to people too.
Great.
And that format's really good because it does give people the opportunity to ask questions that otherwise they wouldn't be able to do when there's a large amount of people. But really want to encourage everybody to come to that and encourage you to come to that. I think that's an important event when we have a guy coming here who's got a shot at being our next senator for the United States of America from California.
I think, it looks like Boxer's in trouble with all three of them. But, you know, personally, the more conservative candidate, the better I like it.
Well, hey, the thing is, you're right.
Hey, Terry, we got to run here. We got to finish up with our guests. But thanks for the phone call, and call us again so we can remind everybody
about
this.
Keep us updated, Terry.
Okay. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Russell.
Closing thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to invite the Reading Tea Party to have a debate between Kathy Darling and myself. They haven't scheduled one, and I'd be more than happy to be there. And to address the last caller's concerns, I believe in one-term occupancy in office. I don't believe a career bureaucrat is the best person for serving in this position or any elected position because they already have tendencies in place, and they're not in fact, this clerk has not been had any competitive action before in an election. So today, or in this election, you have a choice, and you're welcome to email me at russellhunt3@earthlink.net and ask me any questions you have. More than happy to address those.
Okay.
And we will be having Kathy Darling, your opponent, on in the near future. We're still trying to secure a date there with her so we can, you know, see all sides, as we say here on Free Fire Radio.
Okay, our guest tomorrow, we've got a big week this week. Tomorrow is Corky Harmon. And we have on Thursday, at least as of right now, Dr. Orly Tavitz, who is running for the Secretary of State, or the Republican nomination for Secretary of State. She's probably better known for her lawsuits that she has put against the federal government and against Barack Obama, wanting for him to prove where he was born. She doesn't believe that he was born in Hawaii. And, of course, Friday is the remote with our pancake breakfast, and then again in the medical marijuana panel with growers, sellers, users, and the ACLU. So why don't you come on down to Tobacco and Brew that day? That should be an interesting number of questions that comes through.
And we're always taking your emails and your phone calls, and check out our new website, kcnr1460.com. We're going to be tweeting in the Twitter family there. And thanks for being with us today, and thank you, Russell.
Thanks,
and Angela Weston, and all the wonderful people that called in today. Thank you for checking in.
You know, this is we have a great time here, and we appreciate everybody that listens. This is Carl and Linda Bott in Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. What's your you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.